Welcome to the May 12th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, and the sermon is entitled, Take Your Stand, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
I pray that you will hear this message. You know, J. Vernon McGee said, sermonettes are for Christianettes. And so I want you to hear the Word of God today. Are we in agreement with that? As we come, I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We have been walking through this great letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus. And as I sat down this week to continue to polish on this sermon actually began about 6 or 7 weeks ago. It came to my realization that I'm going to take Mother's Day and preach on Satan. However, I think you will see it applying to our families as we as Christian parents need to hear these words, as well as we as Christians in general need to hear these words. The church needs to hear these words. So we're in the last chapter of Paul's letter to the saints at Ephesus. He loved this church. This is the one church that he stayed there on the field after he founded the church, and he pastored the church for 3 years, the longest stay that we know anywhere that Paul stayed in one place at one time. Perhaps one of the reasons he stayed at Ephesus to found this church is because Ephesus was the second most important city in the entire Roman Empire. It was second only to the city of Rome. And so Paul stays at Ephesus because he knows that if he can found these Christians in the faith and get them into the traction of ministry in their city, they could literally turn the world around with their church. Friends, I believe that is true for Clifford Baptist Church. As we follow him in ministry, we have the potential to turn the world around. I'm grateful today that as we gather here, we have government leaders among us. We have people who are in the school system among us. We have people who walk the walk daily in your jobs and in the schoolroom. We have so much impact on the world that it is amazing the responsibility and the commission that God has given to us. This is sermon 21 out of 22. Next week is the last sermon in Ephesians, but in this letter, Paul teaches these Christians about being saved, what it means to be ministers and servants within the church. He covers that in the first three chapters. But also, as he urges them to walk daily in Christ's love and ministry, he then puts the rubber on the road as how do you do that? One of the principal ways we do it is within family, where Paul teaches that husband and wife in that covenant are to be uplifted and undergirded as we participate in that relationship of marriage. It is a godly relationship. Many times that relationship will bring forth children, and children are to obey their parents and grow up in surrender to their parents' guidance and leadership. The children are not to be the guide to the house. The parents are supposed to be, and children are to obey and surrender to the guidance of godly parents. That's the foundation of a society that loves God. And then too, as Paul goes through, he teaches us about working in our jobs and being trustworthy and being upstanding and giving a full day's labor for a full day's pay. If you weren't here last week, one thing that I found on internet was that commonly in society today, it is known that out of an 8-hour workday in the United States of America, 3 hours are wasted. Basically, in an 8-hour workday, 5 hours are given. So today, you and I need to make that commitment to work in our jobs to honor the Lord. But also, at the end of this letter of Ephesians, Paul gives a dire warning to the church. And it is a warning that we need to hear over 2,000 years later. It is still in effect today. The basis of this message to the church at Ephesus and the church in Clifford, Virginia today is this. People of God, do not underestimate Satan's desire to destroy us. Paul nails that down with the church of his day, and nothing has changed in all of these years. Satan wants to destroy the ministry of the church, taking the love and the salvation of Christ out into the world. If today you believe the devil is a hoax, if today you believe that the devil is a spook that's running around in a red union suit with a tail and a pitchfork, you are absolutely misled in what the Bible says about the existence of Satan. He is real. And you need to hear that news that Satan is indeed looking upon the ministries and the lives of the people of God to slow us down, to completely stop us. He is real. The Bible asserts that Satan is as real as God is real. He is crafty. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light, meaning that Satan is not running around in a red suit and we're scared of him, but rather he transforms himself into something that fools the population into believing that he's good, or that his thoughts are good, or that his principles are good. Ezekiel 28, 14, he is called the anointed cherub. Luke 11, 15, he is called the chief of the devils. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he's called the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 2, 2, he's called the prince of the power of the air, which means he has control and power over this planet that is surrounded by air. He is real and he is at work among us. Scripture sets forth that Satan is opposed to the work of God in Zechariah 3, 1. He perverts God's word in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. He hinders God's servants in 1 Thessalonians 2, 18. He yields and wields power in this evil world, 1 John 5, 19. It is scattered throughout the Bible that Satan is real and that Satan is powerful, that Satan wants control and that Satan can stop the people of God. But we, people of God, have the general of the army on our side. And he cannot stop the people who are truly surrendered in faith, those who truly want to serve Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are more than able to combat him, and we are more than able to win against him, because Jesus Christ is our Lord. And he holds the keys of the kingdom of both heaven and hell. And Satan is going to be in captivity for all of eternity one of these days to come. He has already been defeated. He was defeated the day of the cross. He was defeated the moment that Jesus walked from the tomb. But God is allowing him a little more time. But he is dying. He is headed for death. It's already decided. Let's read Paul's final warning to the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Simple verses 10 through 13. Hear these words. Ephesians 6, go to verse 10. Paul says this to his beloved church. Finally, so he's wrapping up his letter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. May God add his blessing to the reading of this charge, this warning from Paul to the church. Now in verse 10, Paul tells these Christians to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in the power of his might. It's not by our strength, it's not by our wisdom, it's not by our might that we can combat Satan. It is by the might of Jesus Christ living in our hearts. Unsaved people cannot defeat him. It is the church of the living Lord with Jesus living in us, our general, our commander, in which we will find victory. Whether you know it or not, the church that's doing something in the kingdom of God is in a regular and constant state of conflict with Satan. It's amazing to me when I see us getting ready to take a huge stride in ministry. I remember the night that we voted to build this sanctuary. That next week was horrible. And all of the challenges that came against the church that following week, the night we voted to build this sanctuary to house 1,000 people, that following week was a horrible week of challenge and trial within the church. Because Satan was on the rampage and the warpath, as we were making a stride, a great stride in ministry, not housing 120 anymore, but 1,000, and Satan didn't like it a bit. The devil puts up obstacles, he puts up roadblocks, and stirs brush fires amongst the saints if we're not careful. The church that is alive in Jesus Christ is under constant and daily direct attack from the devil, the wily one, the evil one, and we cannot let down our guard against him. That's the direction that the Bible points us all the time. Never let down your guard. Remember Peter's words, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, we are always sober, we're always vigilant, we're always wary of Satan's attacks. You see, the church that doesn't do anything, the church that's complacent and the church that's comfortable and the church that's watered down the word and the church that doesn't have any stand in the world, Satan doesn't worry about those churches. They're already defeated. He puts his energy and his effort into churches like this one that's moving ahead in ministry, calling the lost to Christ and discipling believers, beginning with our babies, that they are going to walk into this world to serve the Lord all the days of their lives. We're fostering Christian families. We're encouraging the people of God to walk into the world as missionaries around the world and missionaries in our very community, that we take the love of Christ there. Satan doesn't like it. And he challenges us around every corner. So how do we maintain a strength for this battle? What do we do to prepare for the battle? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, we see that there's a protection of God that every one of us needs to wear. Look at verse 11, chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when Paul says that we put on armor, the Greek word for put on refers to permanent clothing. When you put it on, you never take it off again. It is going to be with you and on you for the rest of your life, for the rest of your ministry as you serve the Lord. You put this armor on permanently. It's a covering. It's a protection. It never lies dormant. It never lies unused. You will use this armor every day in your life, in this world, and in the church. There's no time to say, oh, Lord, I'm going on vacation from Satan today. I don't have to worry about him bothering me today. I'll lay my armor aside. Paul says, no, put on your armor, never take it off again. The protection is a constant suit that we wear. And let me tell you what the suit is comprised of. Next week, we're going to look at it piece by piece. Not today, but next week in the last sermon of Ephesians, we will talk about every piece of the armor that we're called to wear. But the armor is composed of faith, personal, surrendered, trusting, following faith in Jesus Christ as part of this armor. Another part of this armor is this Word of God. That we're going to walk in this Word. There is no error in this Word. There is no mistake in this Word. And we're going to follow it to the letter. That's part of the armor. And another part of the armor is that we are people of prayer. That we're going to pray for God's direction and God's protection and God's leading and God's strength as we walk from this sanctuary into the world with the love of Jesus there. So we are to wear the armor every day. According to Paul, there are six essential pieces. Those pieces are, as we study them next week, the pieces are a belt, a breastplate, boots, a shield, a helmet, and a sword. Those are the six pieces of armor that we will cover next week, but we need to wear them every day. But without the armor, according to the Word of God here, without the armor, we cannot defeat Satan. We wear it constantly. We wear it always knowing that we are wary of an attack, always looking for Satan's presence to pop up in some way, somewhere. And if we fail to wear the spiritual army, then Satan is going to attack us and Satan is going to smack us with no warning. And if the armor is off, then the results are going to be bad. People will be misled. Christians will fall. We need to wear the armor. The church has a mandatory armor law. There are mandatory laws in our community, in your workplace, speed limits, which most of us heed. No more comment on that. But the armor law is non-negotiable in the Bible. Wear your armor. Never take it off. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul says, we don't wrestle with men and women. We don't wrestle with good and bad people, but rather our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. Our conflict is one that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But never doubt that the conflict is real. Never doubt that the conflict is there. It's a fight against a spiritual, murderous enemy in Satan. Now, the Greek word wrestle is interpreted to mean one-on-one hand battle. Of course, most of our battles today in modern warfare carried out with smart bombs and air attacks and all of the things. We're now employing drones in the military to take care of some of the battles so that men and women don't have to march into battle. But in Paul's day, one army marched against another army, and when they clashed, one man was struggling against another man in battle. Most likely, one of those men were going to lose their lives in that battle and against the enemy sword. It was hand-to-hand combat. It was serious. Someone probably was going to die in that combat. Paul says here that every one of us as a child of God is part of a battle against Satan, against his demons. Every one of us has to deal with the darts and the temptations and the turmoil of Satan and his demons. You know, God is able to be everywhere at any time. It's called omnipresence. God is everywhere at any time. Satan does not have omnipresence in his personality. For example, when Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, that was the one place he could be in the world at that particular time. But according to the Word of God, he has an army of demons to assist him, to help him. And it's very organized. It's a very organized army. You can read about it in the book of Revelation, the organization of the army of Satan. Where did they come from? Well, that's a whole nother sermon, and I'll get to that one day when I preach through Revelation again. But in Revelation 12:4, it tells us that when Satan was cast out of heaven, that he took with him one-third of the angelic realm. So that one-third of the angels of heaven were fooled into evil and brought along with Satan to become his demonic force. Paul describes Satan's army as organized, as structured, and it has one goal: to bring destruction to God and to his people. In verse 12, Paul says that we Christians wrestle against principalities. Principalities are the demon generals in the army. Those generals of Satan's army influence the systems of government and the finances of this world. That's why we need to pray for our government leaders, because Satan is actively trying to influence the very government of our land and the world and the finances and the flow of money in our world. 6:12, Paul says we wrestle against powers. These are the demons that are lurking to get into your and my life. Now, I believe this, that when the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, there is a protection around us. But we need to depend on and live in that protection. Don't crack the door open to a demon coming into your life. The powers are there, wanting in. You be prayed up. You ask the Lord to protect you and wrap you in his envelope of protection day by day. Don't crack the door open to any of the powers of Satan, believer. Then also, Paul says, we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're in charge of swaying again the control of this world, the governments of the world. The rulers of darkness constantly work to bring unrest and downfall to the world. Then he also says in verse 12, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, these are the leader generals of Satan's army. Verse 13, Paul says that we Christians must put on the armor of God and stand in this fight with courage, with the knowledge that the Lord Jesus will lead us through. You know, we're going to have our skirmishes with Satan. That is absolutely a fact. We're going to endure the darts and the temptations and the fire of Satan from time to time. But Jesus has won this battle at Calvary, and we need to follow him. So, as I look at this scope of Scripture, as we think about the activity of Satan, it's not something we like to think about, but it's something we need to think about. The Bible directs us to think about it. But as today, we think about our skirmishes with Satan and how Satan wants to destroy us, where does our challenge lie in the Scripture today? Well, as Paul describes it, as he gives us this armor illustration, we have to be willing to engage in conflict with the evil one. We need to keep in our lives what is precious against the evil one. That's what Paul is instructing the church to do here. Now, I believe as I look at where this scripture leads us, I think there are two institutions that Satan would love to destroy. In this day, in this age, Satan would love to destroy two institutions. He would love to destroy two institutions that are part of the fabric of our culture and part of the fabric of the United States of America and of the world. First of all, he would want to destroy the church. He would want to destroy our witness in the world. He would want to destroy your testimony and my testimony. He cannot take away our salvation. When you truly know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are secure in salvation. You're secure to the moment you walk into heaven. But you can lose your witness. You can lose your testimony. You can compromise so that you lose your witness in the world. You don't lose your salvation, but you can lose your strength to increase your borders of witness. Be careful. Satan would love to destroy the ministry right here. It's not God's design that we be destroyed, but rather that we stand. Satan would love to keep us in disagreement. He'd love to keep us in anger toward one another. He'd love to keep us gossiping against one another. He would love for us to move out and go to some other church. That's not God's design at all, but rather, I believe that when we come to the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ, it is for the long haul of our lives. We are to invest our lives and our talents and our ministry in the ministry of the church of which we're a part. And we're going to walk with that church through its great high days and through its low days. We're going to be there. We're going to support the church because the Lord Jesus is giving us the strength to do that. So I believe that the church is one of those institutions Satan would love to destroy. And Paul says, stand up, believer, and defend your church. The second institution that I believe Satan would love to destroy is the family. He would love to destroy the nuclear family, the family of husband and wife and children, and the covenant of marriage and the covenant of living together so we can honor Jesus as a family together. Satan would love to destroy that building block of humanity and spread us asunder. He would love to dismantle the families here with anger and disappointment and discouragement. He would love for us to believe that the grass is greener somewhere else. So leave your wife, leave your husband, because there's a better day and a better person over here. He'd love us to believe that lie. And he would love for us to be destroyed as families. That is not God's design. The design is for the family to be together for the long haul, to weather the hardships, to celebrate the good days. We know we're going to face challenges. You know, in every wedding that I've done in the last several years now, I've always said, couple, don't be so naive as to believe that you're just going to live off of love for the rest of your life. You will face challenges and you will face trials, but face them together and face them with faith in Jesus as your Savior and as a couple. I praise God for the people of the church and the people of the family who've made a commitment to the long haul. Paul says, keep your commitment to the church, keep your commitment to the family, put on the armor and stand. We will need to stand. Sermon's over. Here's the invitation. How many of us would want to physically come to this altar today and say, Lord God, as a part of my family, help me stand strong. As a part of your church, help me stand strong. Help me through faith and the Word of God in prayer to put on the armor and to stand for you in the right. How many of us today will make that decision? Perhaps coming to the altar, perhaps at the altar of your heart, wherever God leads you to do that. How many of us will stand for the family and for the church? How many of us will stand? I believe we need to. Parents, a word to you on Mother's Day. You stand for your children. You need to be suiting up your children from babies forward in the armor of God. Pray for them. Teach them His Word. Show them the foundation of your home in Jesus Christ. Stand for your children. Stand for the right. Stand for the Savior. And the Lord will strengthen and bless and lead your home. That is His Word, His promise. That's not my promise. That's His promise. One last invitation. If today you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, He is waiting for you. Let me give you a little homely illustration and I'm done. Summertime, I love corn. I love it when I get a batch of fresh corn from you or from a store because I don't grow my own yet. Maybe one day I will, but not yet. But when you shuck that corn, you know those little worms on the end of it? You ever notice those little worms? They can't bite you. They can't sting you. They can't hurt you. They are absolutely, totally, utterly defenseless. And that's kind of the way I see the person who doesn't have Jesus in the eyes of Satan. Utterly defenseless against his trickery and his evil. You need the armor. You need to stand up against him. And the way to do that is today to come and say, I want Jesus as my Savior. I open my heart to you, Lord. I believe you went to the cross for me. And I believe that you walked from the grave for me. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Suit me up that I can stand against Satan and live for you. Let's pray together. Father our God, in these closing moments of a service, thank you for the few extra minutes that this congregation allows me for a full sermon. But Lord, I pray now in these very important moments of decision that you will help us as believers, as people who are part of the church and people who have families, that we will take our stand today and say, Satan, you will not have us. We want to put on the armor and take our stand. We want, Lord, to be here for the long haul of the church, and we want to be here for the long haul of our families, Lord. Give us that strength. Give us that wisdom. Bless us as we make that commitment, however you call us to do that. Bless us in these moments as we put our families at your feet. We pray for your blessing on our babies. We pray for your blessing on our walk in Christ day by day. We pray for that one who needs Jesus as Savior. Bless us in these moments, we pray, Lord, as you call your people to you and as you call that one lost one home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.